5 minutes after the hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, rocking and rolling here on this first day of November. Did you get your candy? Oh, dude, I had way too much candy. We bought a lot. We didn't have as many trick-or-treaters last night. I don't know if that's because the neighborhood's getting older or what, but I got to the point where, and this is a big mistake, Angel, I don't know if you experienced this, you do not tell a trick-or-treater they can grab a handful. You do not tell them that. That is a monster mistake, because they will take the biggest handful of candy in the history of the world. At one point, they were reaching in so aggressively to get candy from the bowl that I was holding at the door that they like almost made me drop the bowl. It was like piranhas, man. They smelled blood in the water, and they were attacking. So then after that, I learned my lesson, and it was, all right, 1 to 2 pieces here, guys, okay? Be careful. Did you get any? I mean, it was a down year for us, man. I was kind of bummed, kind of sad. Kids are growing up, I guess. I don't know.
I had a Kit Kat and some peanut M&Ms. That's all I could get before the kids showed up.
Did you have enough to take care of all the trick-or-treaters?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was upstairs playing games, watching a movie. So my roommates, housemates were taking care of all of that. But I think around 7:30, they ran out of candy.
Yeah.
Put out the little signs saying, "We're sorry.
Turn out the lights." Yeah. We got done. Like, I finally got over it. I don't know what time it was. 8-ish. And I left the light on. I put the bowl outside. My wife, Brittany, made a sign that just said, "Take 1 or 2. Happy Halloween." Because we were done. Because it's still a lot. Like, we still got a lot of trick-or-treaters. It's just, last year, the years before that, you might as well not sit down because there was that many. We would just camp out in the, like, open the garage up, camp out in the garage because it was so crazy. They'd just constantly come by. But it was an off year. It was a down year.
Yeah, I mean, I told you about the neighbor's house across the street that all the haunted
baby
carnival
zombies
thing.
And stuff. Yeah.
And they got a lot of people over there and kind of people just standing in the corner looking at all the things. And I don't know if it was just me, but, like, it felt like it was too light out to be trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like as a kid, it was like pitch black when you went trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it just didn't feel, I don't know if
like
it was because
the
weather.
The sun is setting and there's Captain America walking across the street.
Yeah, it was just different. It was different. And I don't know if it was the weather leading up. We got the snow and stuff last weekend, but it was so beautiful. At times it still felt like it was late summer. So I don't know if that changed. But, you know, school night, Tuesday.
You're just getting older and I think time is just different.
Yeah, time's just different.
5:30, that's pretty early. It's sun's out. What are you doing?
Yeah, the older you get, you hear a door ring, a doorbell ring or a knock on the door at like 5:30. You're like, I'm not ready yet, trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, I don't know what they gave the dog last night, but he was very well behaved.
Yeah.
I think I heard him bark like once.
Really?
At the kids.
Oh.
That's good.
Well, that's good because that could scare him. First trick-or-treater of the night. Seriously, made me want to stop doing it. Knocks the door, open the door, looks in, and I got like 2 different bowls. One's got like more of the Snickers, chocolate and stuff. The other one's like all the sweets, you know, Starburst, that kind of thing. So I did the one with the candy bars first. First thing out of this kid's mouth was, "That's all you got?"
Oh.
Yeah. So I was like, "Well, what do you mean that's all I got?" Yes. Fine. In fact, now you don't get any.
Yeah.
So go away. So
what
I got to the,
as?
Yeah, I don't remember, because he came in with like 4 or 5 of them. Mm-hmm. Then my wife's giving me crap because I don't play, what's the game? Brick? Something Bricker? No. Ah, boy. See? That's how bad it was. These kids are just dressed up as like square, like a block. What's the popular game? It's a video game.
Roblox?
No, it's like bricks and I don't know. My wife was giving me
Minecraft?
So much. Was that what it was? Minecraft?
Those are the big ones.
And they're just like squares?
Mm-hmm. Cubes.
Yeah, I never play that. I've never played it.
You might enjoy it.
And they were dressed as that, and I said, "Oh, you guys are squares." And they said, "We're whatever it is." What is it?
Minecraft.
"We're Minecraft."
I turn around. My wife's like, "You're old, I guess." That's like everybody's played that game.
Minecraft's been around for 15 years.
So finally, I got to the point, Angel, where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to now screw up everybody's costume. So we had a little kid that was Mario, and I'm like, "Ah, you're a plumber, huh?"
"Ah, Luigi."
Yeah. One kid came up, Mario and Luigi, both of them. Luigi had his mustache. It's great. Mario didn't have the stash. I was like, dude, you can't be Mario without the mustache. You guys need lessons. And then I would tell, you know, my thing is, as they're walking away, I always say, hey, guys, good luck. I don't know why. But then I had, like, a couple kids would turn around and go, yeah, man, you too. Thanks. I was like, why are you telling them good luck? I was like, because they're going out into the world. It's dark out there. It's Halloween. You never know what's going to happen.
I watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Oh, yeah. Was that any good?
It was. Enjoyable. It was.
Was it so bad it was good, or was it actually good?
It was actually really good. And, you know, for a story and a franchise that has 15 years worth of lore to it, mm-hmm. I think they condensed it pretty well and made it entertaining enough. And it's good. Some funny bits in there, some scary bits, some heartfelt bits, some other body part bits. Yeah.
Really?
Wild. Oh. Not like graphic or anything.
Yeah,
but
just
one of the animatronics kind of bites someone in half.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. That's intense. Yeah. I had one of the Michael Myers or Halloween movies on for a minute. And I wasn't feeling it. So I watched The Nightmare Before Christmas. I already watched it like 3 weeks ago, but I decided to watch it again. And then I put the tweet out, is it a Christmas movie? Is it a Halloween movie? Don't say both. Most people said both, because if you tell them not to do that. See, and I feel like it's more, I don't know, I've actually changed on that. You're right, because the theme is Christmas. That's my new rule. If the theme of the movie is Christmas, like the opposite of Die Hard, the theme is not Christmas, then it's a Christmas movie. So I've changed
my
tone. The movie
ends with the main character saving Santa Claus.
Right.
That's Christmas.
And it's about being the new Santa Claus, you know, and so it is a Christmas movie. I've changed my opinion on that. It feels like a Halloween movie because it's dark and all these creepy characters are doing stuff, but it is a Christmas movie. We put this thing to bed. I finally have come around seeing it because that's the rule. If the theme of the movie is Christmas, then it is a Christmas movie. So glad we got that one done. You know who's not going to have a great Christmas? Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels fired last night. Okay, yes, very good, very good. The Vegas Raiders fired Josh McDaniels and their general manager, Dave Ziegler, the team announced last night. So.
And their OC.
Oh, yeah, they're firing everybody. They're cleaning house. It's kind of cool,
Nick
though.
Lombardi.
Antonio Pierce has taken over. I used to, former linebacker for the Giants, really good player. Back in the day, he's taken over as a head coach. I don't know if it'll work out, but surprise, surprise. Josh McDaniels joins the Raiders and starts shipping people out like their franchise quarterback. And then he goes and gets his guy that nobody else wants, but he gets his guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. Huh. Stay with me here. It feels like that happened in Denver. Josh McDaniels comes to Denver, gets rid of Jay Cutler, and goes and he wants to get Matt Cassel, ended up not being able to land Matt Cassel. So he wants his other guy, Kyle Orton, baby. So we go from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo and Jay Cutler to Kyle Orton. You mean to tell me Josh McDaniels didn't work out as a head coach? I thought he would learn the error of his ways. I really did. I think I even said it when he was fired from the Broncos in 2010, that if he's given another chance, he might be a good coach, because I think he knows the sport. He's a good offensive coordinator, like all that stuff. But you came in and you didn't learn any lessons 12 years before you got hired by the Raiders, and you did the exact same crap that cost you your job with the Broncos. Just a lot of bad things happened with this team. Like, why? Why did it all go down like this? Just you look at those kind of moves that he was making, and then you look at some of the games they were struggling in and everything, then they were up by 20 against Arizona and they ended up losing that game. That's a big deal. And then you get Devontae Adams to join the Raiders, you trade for him and you're pairing him with his guy, the old bait and switch, man. You bait and switch the best receiver in the game. So the Raiders are now a train wreck and decided to make the move. I guess it's good for the Broncos. You probably won't finish last place in the division, regardless, you know, no matter how this thing goes with the quiet Broncos yesterday. Jerry Jeudy is still a Bronco. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The good for me, I did watch a little basketball last night. How about Phoenix and San Antonio? Spurs were down by 20 in the fourth quarter. I think it was in the fourth, maybe it was late third. They come all the way back. They make it a game. It's back and forth. It's back and forth. Well, they're down by three with 11 seconds to go. One of the Spurs players, I can't think of his name, shoots a three, misses it. Wimby's not blocked out at all. Goes in, swoops in, gets the dunk. It's a one-point game. 6.8 seconds left. The Suns inbound the ball to Kevin Durant. Durant thinks he's just going to get fouled. I didn't see a foul. Reggie Miller said he was mauled. But they steal the ball from him and go down and score. Keldon Johnson steals the ball, sprints to the basket, dunks it. The Spurs up 115 to 114, and they beat the Suns. How about that? Victor Wembanyama is actually really freaking good. I'm saying actually like it's a surprise. Now, you always wonder about these prospects, you know, these guys that are supposed to change the game, if they can be good that fast. Yeah, he's good. He's got things to work on, but he's a stud. The bad for me, maybe, I guess depending on who you ask, the Broncos were quiet yesterday. I was ready to be done with the Jerry Jeudy thing, but here we are. The Broncos didn't make any moves. They are putting this crew together, and they are saying, we're going to go try to win this way. All right. I guess I'm here for it. Got nothing else to do. The ugly. I think this is just an ugly situation. Nobody wants to get jewelry stolen when you're at the locker room and you bring your jewelry in and all that stuff. Nobody wants that to happen. But the whole situation now is getting weird. I don't know. Maybe it's not quite ugly, but Coach Deion Sanders was on Tuesday, said he called the NCAA or the Rose Bowl. He's calling on them, I should say, to reimburse his players who were robbed of jewelry, cash, and other items from their locker room during last week's 28-16 loss at UCLA. The Bruins officials confirmed Monday that the athletic department had filed a report with the Pasadena Police Department regarding items that were reportedly stolen from the Buffaloes' locker room. He said, Deion said, our kids got robbed during the game last week. I think that's a travesty. I would expect the NCAA to do something about it. He went on to talk about the fact that the players didn't have insurance on any of that stuff. He said, Sanders said most of his players didn't have insurance for the items that were stolen. What exactly was taken from the Buffalo's locker room hasn't been specified, but we know jewelry and cash. Now, it's tough, dude. It's a tough conversation to have because you don't really have insurance on your cash. You got cash in your pocket, it gets taken. But the watches that we're seeing Shador wear and stuff,
the $70,000 watch,
you need to get insurance on that. And if you're not being advised to do that, you need to do it. He probably had insurance on his, but the rest of the guys who are NIL guys too, there's a lot of players on the team that are NIL guys, probably have fancy jewelry.
I mean, I think I have some sympathy for, you know, if it was like a family heirloom, like, oh, my granddad gave me this chain or my grandma gave me this watch or something, I could understand being very upset about this. But if this is something you bought with your own money, it's kind of, you know, I get it. It's a part of the culture, and not that specifically Prime, but it's a part of that. You know, we're showing up dressed in, you're dressed to the nines in your nicest suit with your chain and your jewelry, and you want to look good for your family or your social media or whatever. When you put a target out like that, people take notice. Like we mentioned, you know, when your neighbor puts out a new TV and it's a 65-inch, you're like, whoa, someone's living room looks nice.
Right.
So
you got to be careful. It's like I told you the story yesterday about a friend of mine that was bragging about, not really bragging, but he's telling somebody at a bar in Dallas that, hey, I've got all this merchandise, signed cards and jerseys and hats from all these amazing athletes. It's worth a lot of money in my car. Somebody overheard that and jumped him, beat the hell out of him, took all of his stuff. That's happened. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's right, obviously, but it's one of those things, man, that sucks that the Rose Bowl didn't have good enough security around there and all that. You got to be mad at him, but so that's my poll question of the day. Should the Colorado football players be reimbursed for items stolen from locker room at Rose Bowl? Yes or no?
Can I ask that? Do you have a receipt? you didn't get insurance, so I doubt you have a receipt for it.
And so if I go to Cable's Pub and Grill today, which I might, sounds pretty freaking delicious, and I leave my wallet there, and somebody sees my wallet, reaches in, grabs it, takes it, should Cable's be responsible for reimbursing me? Cable's.
100%.
Yeah, Cable's, hook me up.
With a cheeseburger.
I get it. That's different. But I guess is it? I don't know. You're not in the locker room. You leave your stuff there. You think it is different. You leave your stuff there. You think it's safe. Your clothes obviously need to be somewhere because you're now dressed out to play a football game. It sucks that it happened. It sucks that security wasn't strong enough. But should UCLA or the committee that operates the Rose Bowl or the NCAA pay them back? Is it on them to pay them back, or is this just one of those things?
I think it's just one of those things.
I mean, it is.
Unless you can find me someone that had access to the locker room or had a key to the locker room, or
somebody that said,
I got to go clean the bathrooms in there. I don't know. I feel like there's more to this story, I think.
Christy says, no, if it was valuable, why did they leave it in a locker room, leave it at home? Well, yeah, that would have been.
It goes back to the presentation of
right,
showing
all doing
up with your jewelry.
This is the thing to do now. I was thinking about this the other day, Angel. Every day you see the Nuggets play, we're now seeing tweets about what they're wearing. Do you seriously think they have a different ensemble for every single game? For 82 games plus playoffs?
Well, Jokic does.
Where do you keep, I get they have the money, but where do you keep all those suits?
Maybe they just rent it.
You think they just rent it for the day?
I'm going to rent three suits for this week. We got two home games and a road game.
So
I'm going to rent two,
okay,
and then I'll rent another one in Minnesota or whatever.
And then they pack it up, and then when they get home, they have to bring it back. Do they have a person for that, you think?
I mean,
imagine
their clothes are tailored. So, I mean, you can't just go to a men's warehouse and find a suit for Jokic.
Right. So you got to go. Like, that's a process, dude. That takes time.
But other guys show up in sweatpants or overalls like Bruce Brown.
That's what I would do. If I play, dude, I'm wearing sweatpants unless I'm told we have to dress nicely.
I don't think they are.
I'm wearing sweatpants every time. Sweatpants and like a t-shirt, like a Nuggets t-shirt.
The Nuggets were wearing costumes yesterday on their flight to
Minnesota. Did you see DeAndre Jordan's get up?
Yeah, he's, I don't know if Taylor Swift could be uglier, but there you go.
I was just going to say, he's some blonde girl, apparently. I don't know who he's trying to be, but he's Taylor Swift. Oh, apparently, the family is really struggling with this whole Taylor Swift thing. Like, the Kelce family.
Oh.
TMZ or Bleach Report, TMZ, whatever. Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ that the frenzy in the press over Tay-Tay and Travis has become incredibly overwhelming for his immediate family members, including his mom, Donna, his dad, Ed, and even his fellow NFLer and older brother, Jason.
I didn't know his dad was not in the picture, but a part of this.
No, I've never heard anything about the dad.
His mom's on every other commercial I see.
Yeah.
Their podcast is out every other day, I think.
Yeah, Jason told NBC Sports, on one hand, I'm happy for my brother that he seems to be in a relationship that he's excited about, that he is genuine about, but there's another end of it where it's like, man, this is a lot. There's paparazzi talking about him fueling his car before the game today, and I'm like, is that really necessary information to share? This is another level of stardom that typically football players don't deal with. It's true. Us football fans like to think that our guys are king. You know, Travis Kelce, you don't know the best tight end in the history of the world. But compared to Taylor Swift, he's a blip on the radar, man. And that's what I don't understand. These kids today. But then again, I don't even play Brick
we
Breaker
see
or whatever.
Stars is on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. And then every other day, it's, okay, there's just a guy doing football.
The older you get, you see a famous football player, and you're just kind of like, that's awesome that he's right there. And then you kind of move on with your life. You see Taylor Swift, apparently, people lose their damn minds. It's like celebrity actors you see on movies and stuff. They have a different level of stardom than these athletes do. It's just that's the nature of this thing.
Does this create rifts?
Oh, yeah.
Red flags?
If you're gambling today, are they going to last? Are they going to make it? These kids going to make it?
They'll get through what is called cuffing season, and then that'll be about it.
Was
It's this season we're in right now. November, December, January
okay.
is like pair up because we got to go to mom's for dinner and we got to go to dad's for Christmas and I got to get you a gift.
I need somebody. Yeah, I get you. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris says, bummer we don't get the chance to finally beat Josh. That's right. The Broncos have not beaten Josh McDaniels as a head coach. That sucks. Big Hub texting in. Let's see. While they shouldn't be posting all over social media with their jewelry, I believe some must pay for stealing their stuff. Someone must pay. And there should be nobody near that locker room besides security and the team, so somebody must pay for that. I don't know.
If you kept the serial number.
That's the tough part. Like, who's paying? So
whoever stole them, you know, likely maybe they go to a pawn shop, but that's going to get picked up quickly.
So now, Angel, if anybody gets something stolen at the Rose Bowl, that's the precedent you're setting. They're now
somebody stole my car. What kind of car was it? It was a brand new Tesla.
Do you have insurance on it? Because that's illegal if not. 26 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. I got Cody Tucker jumping on to talk to us. We got Border War coming up on Friday, a couple days away from a huge game between the Colorado State Rams and the Wyoming Cowboys. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKF.
Here at Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The poll question of the day. You can check that out online at thewholeshow.com. You can comment on all the socials that we're on. Should the Colorado football players be reimbursed for items stolen from locker room at Rose Bowl? From the locker room. I should edit that, but I won't because I don't have time. 56% of the hooligans right now are saying no. 43% saying yes. Listen, it's a complicated conversation to have. Like, I don't know what the best answer is, but my thing is, if you got some expensive that you really care about, probably don't ever want to leave it out of your sight, out save for your home in a safe and things like that. Like those rings that the Nuggets got to enjoy last week to start the NBA season. The first thought was, where are those things going while they're playing right now? Because as soon as the game's over, I'm getting that thing home. I'm getting it in a mega safe and I'm not wearing it and I'm only bringing it out for special occasions. And it's on me at all time.
Kroenke probably has a private security unit for that.
Yeah, probably.
He has to just continually rent out because they keep winning.
Yeah, they probably had a lot of security that night. Special security. More than the Rams had at the snowball game.
Ouch.
Just move them back, okay? Come on. Stop
Brady,
penalizing people.
What if in the instance that the canvas is full at some point, where are you going to put them?
Listen to what you
at
just
said. At
some
point.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it sounds
ridiculous. Yeah. After halftime, the students coming back to a game, like a bulk of them? I don't know about that. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, we've got Cody Tucker coming up, and we got some shenanigans going on, Angel. Shenanigans going on with those two Ram statues outside of the stadium. Talk to Chris. I'm going to talk to Cody about that, see if he knows what's up. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show. Joining me now, our guy Cody Tucker, our Wyoming Cowboys insider from 7220sports.com. Cody, before we get into the actual game part of this, what do you know about the Rams statues getting branded there at Canvas Stadium? What do you know, Cody?
Oh, is that really a thing?
I just tweeted it out just now, so if you have a second, Check it out. The Ram, you know, the two Ram statues out front that are ramming each other in the face. Somebody branded a UW on the the hind parts where you brand them. Yeah. So I just wanted to. I'm investigating here on the air today, Cody, and you were my first. You're my first guy. You know.
Hey, I love it. I don't know if you remember in the early 2000s, some Wyoming students broke into Hughes Stadium and burned a big WYO in the field there at Hughes. And I've been trying to find those guys ever since I started 7220. And my dream is to do a video with them and then have their faces blacked out like we're on Dateline.
Oh, that would be the best thing ever. Yes.
Yeah. If you're out there, let me know.
All right, you know what? We're gonna get they're suspects now too. So you're saying you're not a suspect. You are. Do you have an alibi or anything, Cody? I don't know when exactly this happened, but just give me one alibi and maybe we'll let you slide.
Yeah, I was trick-or-treating with my 2-year-old daughter. I was being pretty damn innocent last night, if I do say so myself.
Dude, I saw you posted some pictures. Oh, man. She's winning like contests for her Halloween costume and everything. Of course, my friend. She's adorable. Where does she get that from, Cody? I'm trying to figure this out, man.
Boy, that's her mother. But I tell you what, tomorrow is superhero day, and she is going as the Philly Fanatic, and she kills it in the Fanatic outfit. So I'm excited for that.
She's like going to be into metal and football and superheroes. I mean, you are doing it the right way, my friend.
Oh, she's in trouble. I have nothing to do with superheroes, but she's going to be into metal and sports, and it's going to be I just hope she's not a bully and mean like I was. I just want her to be a nice, sweet girl, and so far, so good.
So far, so good, my friend. Cody Tucker joining us. The Cowboys needed a superhero last week against Boise State. Look at that. Look at that, Cody. I just wrap everything around there. That was a rough game.
Perfect.
I was with you. You know, and it wasn't just because I now signed a contract. Every Wyoming game that you predict, I'm going to go your way. But I was with you. I really thought the Cowboys would get it done this time.
Yeah, I mean, boy, Brady, to put it in perspective, I've been to hundreds of games, hundreds of Wyoming games as a fan, and now as a reporter for the last 5 years. And I've seen some really bad football. I really have. But that one might have taken the cake. And it was ugly in all facets. One of the worst games I've ever witnessed. And, of course, you hate to question effort. That's a slippery slope. Anytime you question someone's effort, especially amateur football players. But I tell you what, if that was the Cowboys' best, you might as well start focusing on basketball, because that was about as bad as it gets.
This is what drives me nuts about football. And honestly, about Wyoming, you know, the last couple seasons, it always feels like they are a really good team. They're going to be right there in the thick of it. Even the Air Force game you can stomach, because Air Force is really good. And then they get to this point late in the season, a few weeks into the Mountain West play, and you drop one like this, and it's like, who is this team? Why are they so different than the team that beat Texas Tech, that battled with Texas for 3 quarters? Night and day difference between that football team.
Oh, my God, is there ever. And, you know, something that we talk about on your show a lot, Brady, that you need to give credit to, and you need to give credit to the Boise State Broncos, because like Craig Bull said, they're a caged animal. That is the Mountain West bullies.
Yeah.
Those are the bullies. And if you thought they were just going to fade away into the night and take a beating on their home field and just, you know, slip into the abyss here, you know, you got to know better than that. That's a really good team. And really the excuse we're hearing out of Craig Bull's own mouth is just, you know, maybe my guys were reading their press clippings. Maybe they were looking ahead. I mean, how do you look ahead when that's a team who's lost all of, 14 games at home since 2011? And not one of those is to Wyoming. Wyoming now 0-9, 1-17 overall against Boise State. It was just, you don't use this word, you don't throw this word around very often or freely, but it was embarrassing.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, again, you could see either thing happening. Like I said, I was with you. I thought Wyoming would win, but I wouldn't have been shocked if Boise State just won by, let's say, a touchdown, 10 points, whatever. Mm-hmm. But to see that score and the way that thing went down, how do you recover? And I guess it's probably a good thing. It's a short week, and they're going up against their bitter rival with the Colorado State Rams. The Rams obviously lose to Air Force in a frustrating second half for them. So I think both teams, it's almost like they were saying the exact same. As soon as that game was over, yeah, this doesn't matter, on to the border war.
Yeah, I think the border war is probably something that's really going to save them, because, you know, would it be as easy to get up for Nevada this week or New Mexico,
right,
or God knows who? I mean, they have CSU. They have them at home. They've dominated in the series, winning 10 of the last 14. This is a prideful group, and, you know, they've been taking it on the chin all week after that after that Boise State game. People are embarrassed. People are pissed off. This is year 10 of Craig Bohl, and this kind of stuff is not supposed to be happening right now, especially with a mature team that has the leadership of these guys. And it was really bad. And to have Colorado State coming into town might be the best remedy. On the flip side, you know, who knows what team is going to show up here? If, you know, I tell you what, Colorado State has closed the gap, and they have some really explosive weapons. And they're actually, dare I say, a fun team to watch. They really are. They got the Trinity there with the quarterback and the BYU kid and Horton. And they're really good on offense, and they're really scary. And it can be a wild one.
Yeah, that's the thing. On both sides, you're kind of like, okay, which Wyoming team are we going to get? The one that we've seen most of the year, or the one against Boise State? For CSU, are we getting that team that gave us fireworks against the Buffs of several weeks ago? The team that made the epic comeback against the Broncos in the second half, or 6 minutes, really, and beat them? Or the team that, you know, lets things slip through their fingers and it just spirals out of control, and like the team that lost to Utah State? So obviously both teams kind of have a lot of question marks going into this game on Friday.
And once again, Brady, I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys blow their doors off, and I wouldn't be shocked if this is really, really close, and maybe a little less shocked if CSU found a way. That's just how up in the air things are right now. It's how do you bounce back from something like that where you rush for 27 yards and put up a grand total of 112 offensive yards and never cross midfield all day long? How do you bounce back from something like that? It was a total domination in all three facets. The defense didn't do anything. Boise State, all I've been reading about is, I can't believe they're you know, deploying two quarterbacks and fire Andy Avalos. Are you kidding me? That team was clicking, to say the least. And Ashton Genty didn't even play the second half. If he plays the second half, Boise State doesn't fumble a couple of times. They don't screw up a chip shot field goal. We're talking 50-something to nothing here.
Yeah, again, that's why it's so frustrating. You know, you win big games like Fresno State, and you lose a close one to Air Force that you were very close to winning that game. And then to have that is really tough. Talk to us about the player side of things, Cody. Harrison Whaley did play. How's he doing? How's he feeling at this point?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to him this week, but his stats tell me 10 rushes for 18 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that tough sledding. And, you know, it sounds crazy. I write a story every week during game day that's called Turning Point. What was the turning point of the game? And to me, honestly, I don't think it's far-fetched to say the opening snap of the game, Harrison Whaley takes a delay and goes 11 yards right up the pipe, called back on a holding, and it was never the same after that. It was an absolute debacle. There were zero running lanes. I tell you what, the guys we did interview after the game, they were kind of shell-shocked, and I just asked a really broad stroke question. What the hell happened? And all of them kind of, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know, and I don't either. I mean, I didn't even write my column for 48 hours because I had to digest that disaster and rewatch it again. I mean, it was that mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't get it either, my friend. For Wyoming, looking at this game against CSU, what I've seen with CSU, and they've gotten better, but there are times, and I really saw that when early in the season for them, the run game can tend to destroy them. Guys can get in those gaps. Utah Tech, you know, for them being the class of team they are, they were able to run all over the Rams in the first half. The Rams kind of corrected it. But if I'm Wyoming, I'm saying let's get right back to what we can do on offense and heavy dose of Whaley at this point.
Yeah, and you know, that's a pissed off, prideful unit up there. They were just named to the Joe Moore midseason award list for the top offensive line in the country, and they played anything but last week. So Frank Crum, the leader of that group, he's motivated to say the least. And, you know, 27 rushing yards under Craig Bohl, you've never seen anything close to that bad. So this is a unit that I don't think needs much motivation anyway going into this. But, you know, this is a huge, huge game for the Cowboys here because, you know, their schedule down the stretch is the envy of anyone. They go play at a much improved UNLV team the next week, of course. Then you finish with Hawaii at home and Nevada on the road. Theoretically, after the clunker they put out last week at Albertson Stadium, they need to win these four, and they need to win them, and they need to finish the year 9-3. And it's hard to believe we're talking about a three-loss team, like, you know, like it's a funeral. But man, it was that bad.
Well, it's just so tough because you want bigger things for your program. If you're Wyoming, yeah. You were really starting to believe that you're going to get another shot at Air Force at the end of the year too for the Mountain West Championship. And now, Obviously, that feels a little different. Not that it couldn't happen, but you need some help along the way. Cody, before we let you go, predictions. Wyoming is a 7-point favorite this Friday.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm taking them. I think this is going to look a lot like last year's game, a 14-13 game inside Canvas Stadium. I actually picked the Cowboys 20-19. I do not think Wyoming's going to lose this game, but I do think it's going to be close. It's going to be a nail biter. That's a really prideful CSU team. And I rewatched last year's game, and boy, you know, the Rams came to play and they were packing a punch and they were showing up with really bad intentions. Unfortunately for them, the air raid just was not clicking at all. I mean, they didn't score more than 17 points in almost 2 years. I mean, it just wasn't clicking. But now they can explode on you. And I think Holker makes a hell of a difference. And it'll be interesting to see who the Cowboys put on him. I know they did pretty well against Trey McBride his senior year, but his junior year, he went nuts. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I think the Cowboys do win. If they lose this game, it's going to be a four-alarm emergency around here.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. Always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Brady. Hope to see you this weekend.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Cody Tucker, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Wrap up hour number one. I got to get to more on the Josh McDaniels thing. The Broncos were quiet yesterday. How are we feeling about that? More on the prime time, the poll question of the day. Should the Buffs players be reimbursed? Talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Angel during the break. That's good. Now maybe they'll stop confusing Mike McDaniel and Josh McDaniels. Now that Josh McDaniels has been fired by the Raiders and probably not going to get another head coaching job anytime very soon.
No, I was reading just ESPN's kind of thing about it, and it was giving examples of when Dan Campbell started with the Lions, his first 2 years weren't that great. Shanahan's first few years with the Niners wasn't that great. So it seems to me McDaniels isn't a great coach.
Yeah, no, he's not. All right, more coming up in the second hour on the poll question of the day. Should the Colorado football players be reimbursed for items stolen from locker room at Rose Bowl? Sonny says no, it is a civil issue. Sue the school. Tyler says I agree with Sonny. Okay. Tom says, how will they ever prove what they had in there? That's the thing. You just said receipts, right? Well, I thought that's what the Buffs did. They keep receipts, Angel. They don't keep receipts for the biggest things like this, the actual things you need receipts for? Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That would be my stand-up comedy, huh? How you proven what they have? You can't. It's very difficult. I don't know how you would. So how much are we asking for? Suing the school is probably the way to go about it, but being flat out reimbursed, it's next to impossible. Angel has a story that we're going to bring up in the second hour as well. This might not be the first time that this has happened to players that played under Coach Prime. Let's discuss in the second hour. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.